is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island, New York City.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass, Choppy. On Rant EM Radio, proud member of the Shining Wizards Network and Dark Satellite Media.
Choppy there.
Hey, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome to a... Hold on a minute. To a brand new episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live on Rant EM Radio. Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network, part of Dark Satellite Media. I'm Phil, and that's Choppy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Jay might be on tonight. Jay became an uncle last night for the first time.
Fuck him, he's lying.
Oh, no. So, Jay's going to see his new niece. So, yeah, man, God bless him and his sister and their family. And Jay said either he'll jump in like right before the throwback or he won't be able to make it in tonight. So,
I was almost thrown off by your voice a little bit.
Why is that?
Because I haven't heard your voice, I want to say, at least a week, maybe a week. It was about a week, right?
Yeah, it's about a week. Dude, I've been fucking just working.
You sound 10 years younger. I don't know what it is that you're doing, but you sound fantastic.
I took a nap today. Maybe that.
Can I just say you sound delicious?
I sound delicious, huh?
Yes, you do, sir.
Wow. Thank you, sir.
That's what I'm here for, buddy, to make you feel good about yourself.
Thank you. Just
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Anyway, hello, Shaolin, Uptown Georgie. I want to thank Jeff from the Mighty Enrage, Shaolin's own. Fucking, they dropped some new singles tonight, and they dropped an EP tonight, and they did a cover of Wasps, Wanna Be Somebody. And I messaged Jeff like 10 minutes ago, like, Jeff, can I please open my podcast for this? He was like, yeah, of course. And I said, thank you, brother. So, Jeff, thank you so much. I love the single. Guys, Enrage has been a part of my life for like the last fucking 25 years, and it's so weird that now like I'm living out here for 10 years and like I met Jeff, and Jeff's a cool dude and his band's amazing. I was in one of their videos a couple of years ago. So what's up, Rich?
Anybody see Richie?
We got Mr. Rob Domingo's in there.
Doing flips and shit.
Yeah, man. So what else? I saw my brother Mike in there for a minute. I saw Jamie Sterling's in there.
Yeah, I saw. I said hi to your brother when he was on, and he said hi to me. So it was nice to see your brother.
The Shining Wizards are joining us tonight. Thank you. Oh, Lane's in here too.
Fuck the Wizards, bro. Get out of here.
Dude,
I love them. Yeah,
you're on fire tonight, man.
No, I'm not on fire.
I had to restart the fucking the gimmicks because nothing. The whole thing froze. I was playing. Like, I'm gonna blame Triple H for that.
I was watching the video live of you playing the video, and I was like, oh no, he you made this expression on your face. like shit had just hit the fan. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, yeah. What's up, Aline?
Yogi! Yogi!
I'm sorry.
Well, Lodi frickin' God!
Everybody's in there. Yeah, I replaced the wiring, and I was just, yeah, I set up a little earlier tonight so I can fucking do some stuff. I'm going to play some music after the show tonight.
Good for you.
I got some libations. I'm going to fucking get some, I got some liquor going on. I'm going to chill out, and I've been a mess. It's been, the call volume has dropped in EMS. We lost another person dear to me not too long, and the instructor passed away. So, nothing's in the, people are like coming outside now and like, it's okay. I'm like, you motherfuckers are going to die. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, you know, some of them are also taking the advice of our fearless leader and telling us like, hey, it's okay to inject yourselves with fucking Lysol and bleach. It's okay. Not a problem.
Dude, I woke up this morning and normally the first thing I do is check my, I'm on the phone. We're all addicted to our phones now. That's how it is, right? But I overslept, and I had a Strat game to play today. So I jumped out of bed, grabbed my shit, and then I logged into the Strat thing, and I played with my friend remotely because he just got up with a virus, my boy, Jim.
He's
a bus driver, so he was all fucked up. So I had to wait to play him because he was sick, and I didn't think I was going to play him. But he messaged me yesterday. He's like, Phil, could you play tomorrow morning? I'm like, yeah, of course I can. So by the time I got back to my phone, it was already time to go pick up my prescription at the pharmacy, and I had to go return something at Amazon. So I was like, all right. So I come out and I opened my phone and it was like, whoa, what the fuck happened today? And apparently the president told us to inject ourselves with Clorox, drink Clorox.
What?
And I saw like all these memes and shit. And here comes the fucking liberals and then here comes the fucking conservatives. And oh, you guys misconstrued what he said. You guys are fucking idiots. Da 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 da. If you believe, I have people tell on their Facebook, if you believe him, unfriend me. Like that's how vicious it got today.
Listen, there, it's been documented on video of him saying those exact words. So for all these Trump supporters to say, "Oh, he didn't mean what he said," guys, do yourselves a favor, watch the video again, watch it thoroughly, take notes on it. It's only a minute and 48 seconds.
Yeah,
it's not that bad. You should be able to figure out that the man said, hey, we should look into, you know, injecting ourselves or ingesting some Lysol or Chlor. are you out of your fucking mind, you maniacal fucking tyrant? Get out of here.
Okay, what terrific.
Marty Spock's in the room. What's up, Matt Spock?
Hey, Marty. By the way, going back to the whole music thing.
Yeah, man.
I was on Instagram, and Chris Cornell's daughter.
Yes.
Was on Instagram, and she covered a Hunger Strike that her father did.
I can't feed on the powerless when my cup's all right. That's Mother Love Bone, right? That's a good song.
She fucking killed it, bro. She definitely has her father's voice, man. She's really good.
I bought that cassette for that song, right? They didn't have a single of it back in the day.
Yeah.
Normally you buy a cassette single. They didn't have a single. I had to buy the whole album. But there was some good songs on an album. Say Hello to Heavens on there. I like that song.
Hell yeah.
No, they had some good stuff on it. Yeah, no, she's pretty. She's a very good singer. Dave Mustaine's daughter's a good singer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you got to Google her shit, man. Her and Dave do a couple of songs together.
That's awesome.
But you can't listen to Dave talk. He's a really fucking hardcore conservative. And that's like right. I unless he's talking about music, I can't fuck with him. So, but yeah, Temple the Dog, really good shit though, man, really good shit.
Yeah, dude, good song. Hunger Strike is always one of my favorite songs, especially when Chris Cornell used to hit those fucking notes, man. Oh my God,
I like insane. Eddie Vedder in the fucking in the weeds with his leather jacket. And I can't feed on a powerless.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my
cup's
already overfilled. Yeah,
it's a good song. I miss the 90s. They had some good fucking
It definitely
music
defines the 90s, all that fucking that grunge movement, man. Definitely defines
I mean, like, let's think about this for a second. You had fucking Alice in Chains, you had fucking Pearl Jam. Well, Pearl Jam defined the 90s and grunge, in my opinion. Just like Alice in Chains. But then you also had fucking Soundgarden, you had Nirvana. A lot of great fucking grunge bands.
Alice in Chains for me tops everybody, though.
Oh, I agree. Alice in Chains is probably one of the best. Like, it got to a certain point that after a couple of albums, they started drifting away from the grunge. shit and just started doing their own thing. Now I love that.
Well, you got to understand. And, yeah, hold on. Mott Spock says it's, yeah, it was a tribute to Mother Love Bone, the Temple of the Dog. Correct.
I'm yes, correct.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
No, I think that, you know, bands like Stone Temple Pilots started drifting away from grunge shit. And then and they started creating their own new sound instead of sounding like somebody else. And I appreciated that. And I really, that's why I loved Alice in Chains. I love Stone Temple Pilots. And, you know, it's a shame that Layne Staley and fucking Scott Weiland are not with us anymore because of all the fucking drug abuse they used to do back in the day.
I think Alice in Chains were a bit more metal-ish than the rest of the bands were.
I agree. Right? I completely agree with you.
Yeah, Jerry Cantrell, people don't, I don't think he gets the proper credit. That
he
dude,
does not.
He is an amazing guitar player, dude.
I agree. Amazing. Absolutely.
I had this conversation with Jay a couple of months ago on the way home from one of our shows. Because you know, you guys all know Jay's a musician. He's in a band. And I said, you know, that whole movement, because you guys are a lot younger than I am, and I was just, you know, I wasn't really into grunge. I just, you know, I was in it to either get laid or I liked some of the songs. That was about it. But I had all, the only band that I really didn't get into was Soundgarden. I didn't like them very much, but I love Chris Cornell by himself. And and Chris Cornell, a couple of years later, he did a cover of Ave Maria on one of the Christmas albums. And
yes,
he
I remember
destroyed
that.
It. Bro, it was, like, I was in tears. That's how great it was. So,
excuse me one second, bro.
Uh-huh.
I apologize.
All right. Anyway, but yeah, I was so into it, man. I was like, you know, the hell is that noise? I know what that is. Never mind.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, so yeah, man. I guess sometimes for me it takes a couple of years for me to appreciate fucking some like certain styles of music or certain artists. You know, like I wasn't really into Soundgarden until like 10 or 15 years later. So
why is that though?
Because I, at the time, my head was somewhere else. You know, like, as I was in a couple of bands, so I was into that kind of music, or I was listening to something else. I was just, it just takes me a while to grab certain shit, you know? What other band I got into? Like, No Doubt. I didn't dislike these bands. I just didn't go into them and, you know, that kind of gimmick.
Well,
No,
you know what it is about No Doubt? No Doubt started clinging themselves over to, like, us with Sublime.
Yeah, and those punk bands. Like, and for me, punk, like I'm a hardcore kid, so hardcore is basically punk and metal mixed, right? So it's like all that commercial punk, like No Effects and fucking Alkaline Trio, and
yeah,
like that's at my boy Chris Espo loves those bands, but I could never get into those guys, and then I got into like Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. They were doing like all those cover songs like that. But I like everything, man. Like, if you open up my, you guys, you know this. If you open up my fucking iPad, my old iPod, or you open my phone up with all the gimmicks, I have everything from John Cicada to Slayer. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. I just, but sometimes it just takes me a couple of years to pick up on people because I wasn't vibing with them, you know, or I had seen them live after I, you know what I'm saying? Oh, wow, I got to go home. Like, that was with this band called Black Train Cherry. They opened up for AC/DC, and I'm like, those guys were talking. I didn't like them on the CD. Then I saw them live. I'm like, oh, these guys are fucking good. Another band I didn't like, I wasn't into until recently, Volbeat.
Who's that?
They're like a, all right, they're like a commercial metal band.
Okay.
They're from Europe. I think they're from Finland or Sweden, or one of them. They do a song with Clutch, and I'm like, yo, these guys are fucking good. You know I love Clutch.
Clutch is good.
I'm a mark. I love Neil. That guy singing, he's amazing. And my favorite band the last 10 to 15 years of my life is Clutch. Like, those guys, they get better and better. But when they age like fine wine, those guys, you know?
My thing was, like, I don't know. Have you ever heard of the Guano Apes from Germany?
Who?
Guano Apes. They're a really good band. They're from Germany. They sing in English. They're really, really fucking good.
No.
They got really big in like 99, and then by like 2002, 2003, they fucking blew up in Europe. And then for whatever reason, they never blew up here in the United States, just because there's sometimes their lyrics were just very hard to understand. But that's like any band. You have to like really study the lyrics to understand what the person's trying to convey. And I thought they were a really good band. I mean, you know me. I like Soulfly. Soulfly was great because they're from Sepultura.
I love Sepultura. And, you know I love Sepultura. Oh,
yeah, of course. And I love Soulfly as well because they're the same, almost pretty much the same band.
Yeah, it's Max with a bunch of other musicians. And,
correct.
And Soulfly does. Soulfly is okay. They're like Sepultura light. They're not.
Yes.
They're not as hard as Sepultura.
I agree, but they're still pretty good, Ben. I enjoy them.
I saw them a few times.
Let me ask you something. What are your thoughts on Velvet Revolver?
I like those guys. Those guys. That's Slash and
that was
Scott
Weiland with Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, and Duff. I think Duff was on drums. No, Duff.
Yes.
Duff McKagan was on guitar. And the dude from the Guns N' Roses drummer, not the first guy, Steve Adler, the other guy, Matt Sorum, who played in the Cult. He was in that band.
That's another good band, the Cult.
The Cult,
oh,
that's another band I didn't get into until later on in life.
Oh, they're so good. Oh my God,
you know what I'm saying?
You know, was another band I really enjoyed listening to as I got older was The Cure.
I love The Cure.
The Cure was really
I was rocking The Smiths the other day. My friend's like, you like The Smiths? I'm like, dude, I love all those new wave bands. I like The Smiths. I like The Cure. I like Echo and the Bunnymen, Oingo Boingo, Susie and the Banshees. I love all that shit, man.
You know what I started listening to a couple of weeks ago was Depeche Mode.
Oh my God, you kidding me?
Oh God,
man, dude,
so good.
Dude, their first like three albums? Ridiculous.
Oh.
Ridiculous.
So good.
Oh my goodness.
I still think Personal Jesus is probably their best fucking song.
That whole album is good, though, Violator.
That's their anthem right there for me.
Personal
Jesus
Clean's my favorite song on that album. Clean might be my favorite Depeche Mode song. That and Master and Servant.
Oof, there's so many.
Yeah,
so many good. Good.
Yeah, that whole movement, man. The whole movement was dope. Bjork.
I miss.
Yes.
Yeah, I never got into Bjork.
She was in the Sugar Cubes, and that another good fucking band. She's fantastic, man. I want to have
really.
When I was like 25 years old, I wanted to have babies with her, man. She was fucking dope. She was fucking beautiful.
Let me ask you something. Did you ever get into Pixies?
Yeah, the Pixies aren't bad. The Breeders, I like the Breeders.
Breeders were good.
If they were twin sisters, if they didn't shoot fucking heroin the whole time, they would have been better, you know. But there's so many bands that burned out, you know. They just burnt out because it was the time, you know.
You know which band I really, really loved their first album, and then after a while, I just kind of like drifted away from them was Green Day. I loved Green Day in like 94, 95.
That's another band that I didn't like initially, and then they grew on me. You know, what
I think their first two albums were really fucking good, and then as they got older, they came really too pop for me, and I was like, okay.
That's like Blink 182 too. It's like those guys
exactly.
Were, yeah,
and then I, you know, which band I really love to this very day, I have no problem is Incubus. I know a lot of people don't like Incubus. I love Incubus. I think they're a really good band. I think they don't get enough credit for what they did back in the early 2000s. Great band, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Georgie said great decade, the 90s, for music, all genres. I mean, hip-hop was in a transition, too, in the early 90s, and you had all that dance, pop, techno. You had techno, you had fucking house music.
Yeah.
Grunge. Like, metal was, like, you know, metal was in a transition, too, because, like, Megadeth got really big. They went commercial at that time. And then some of the New York hardcore band, like Biohazard, went commercial. They went big. They got Tom Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I remember Biohazard getting commercial.
Good though.
Fuck is good.
That was good. I mean, yeah. The thing is, people are just, you know, I think the problem is with fans of music, it's same thing with wrestling. It's like you get into like a certain brand or something or a band. I'm comparing wrestling to music, obviously. And
that's fine.
it's like, well, I like Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, but once Pro Wrestling Guerrilla started putting something in there, oh, I can't watch them no more. Or when a band replaces a singer or they do a cover song, I can't listen to them anymore. Like, why? Because the whole library? Listen, fucking Kiss did a disco song. It wasn't meant to be disco, but the disco clubs were playing it. I love Primus. Brought Hall Service I never got into. I saw them live. I never got into them. They opened for Beck. One time I went to go see Beck.
Beck was pretty good back in the day.
Yeah, but like there's certain bands, you know, like... you know, Metallica is a band that, for me, I adore, and they've done so much different shit. Like, when Load of Shit, I call it Load of Shit, when Load of Shit came out, I was like, oh my God.
I'm sorry.
But then, like, 10 years later, I'm like, wow, King Nothing's not a bad song. You know, like, you just pick up on shit. You're like, all right, whatever. And, like, then there's some bands that never change, like Slayer.
Yeah,
you
correct.
Know, Slayer can replace the guitar player. They replaced Jeff Hanneman, who passed away, with Gary Holt from Exodus. Same shit. You know, same shit.
I remember going, I was in Portugal for the summer. I think it was like 95. I think it was like 10 or 11 years old. And I ended up going to see, just by accident, I went to go see Alanis Morissette.
Oh, I wish I would have saw her, man.
Jagged Little Pill is by far one of the best fucking albums I've ever heard in my life.
Everybody's saying hello to my mom in the chat room, but I don't see my mom.
Oh, your mom was in there. She was.
She was. Okay. Hi, Mom. Hi, Otto.
Oh, and Otto said Limp Bizkit. I liked Limp Bizkit. I liked $2 Bill, y'all, and then I liked fucking...
And I'm
Significant
and
Other.
And I was afraid to admit that because I liked that, and all my friends were like, they were like really hardcore kids. And like, but then I saw Limp Bizkit open for Ozzy, right?
Oh, and, you're talking about Ozfest back in like, what, 99?
Yes. And they did a cover of... They came out with an inflatable toilet, you know? Seriously, and they did a cover. They did a cover of "Jump Around," "House of Pain," and Evan from Biohazard came on stage. And I'm like, all these hardcore kids are giving me a hard time about Limp Bizkit, but fucking Evan was the epitome of New York hardcore. He fronted one of the greatest hardcore bands of all time, and he's singing with them. So how bad can Limp Bizkit be? You know what I'm saying?
And if you know what? I'm sorry, not to cut you off, but a lot of things. You know that new metal shit. A lot of people give new metal such a bad.
I liked all that. I liked Power Man 5000 and all that shit.
I liked Korn. I liked Limp Bizkit. I fucking liked...
I saw Korn in concert, man.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah, they weren't bad.
I like Jonathan Davis for... He's not a great vocalist, but his band, like, Monkey was good.
No, that first drummer they had, that first drummer was fucking mint.
Oh, what's his name?
I forgot his name already. But
he's not
in the band anymore, though. He's a fucking...
No, he's not. I know who you're talking about. He was great.
With that Falling Away From Me song, that song was dope.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. There's a lot of good music from Korn. And then, you know, a lot of people don't like to admit it, but I admit it. I fucking love Slipknot. I think Slipknot is fucking good.
First of all, you can always admit that. Slipknot, and you can ask Sweeney upstairs, one of the greatest live bands of all time.
That drummer? Oh, my fucking God.
Let me tell you something. The first time we saw Slipknot, they opened for Ozzy at Ozfest, right?
The
main stage. They were a nine-piece band, okay? They had two drummers. They had two percussionists on hydraulics. And Corey, what the hell is his last name? Corey, the singer.
You know, let me get it. I'm going to look it up right
now.
Corey Taylor, okay.
He also, so now I said, you know what? This dude, they're fucking great, man. Oh my God, they were so good live. And he's got another band called
Stone Sour.
Stone Sour, who opened for Ozzy when I went to go see Ozzy 2 years ago.
Stone Sour is the pop version of Slipknot.
Correct.
They're so good.
He can write, dude. I'm telling you, those guys, they kept evolving. You know,
yes.
Their first 2-3 albums were fucking amazing. Don't ever be afraid to admit you like Slipknot, especially on this podcast, man.
Oh, I don't. I like, but a lot of people, I remember Slipknot first came out, like, what was it, 98, 99?
Yeah, man.
I told people, I was like, bro, Slipknot's so fucking good. They're like, oh, no, they suck. They're this. I was like, you're fucking out of your mind, dude. They're good.
I have a friend who's from their home state and hates them.
Really?
My friend Jason Grooms. Jason's probably listening right now. Groomsy hates them.
Oh, get out of here.
I've been having this debate with him for 20 years. Dude, I was like, how do you not like Slipknot?
They're good, man. I enjoy them. They're really good.
They're fucking amazing. Dude, they're amazing.
Dude, they just dropped an album almost, like, what, last year?
Yeah.
And they're still amazing.
Yeah, they lost their bass player. He passed away. Tragically.
Yes, I remember that because Corey Taylor, I remember watching a tattoo show because I like watching them sometimes. And he popped up and he wanted to get a tattoo of his bass player's name on his leg or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And Corey was in fucking tears while he was getting a tattoo. That's how emotional he got for him. So.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm all over the place with music, man. I'm all over the place.
Me too, man.
I can't really invest. Like, I'm not one of those kids. Like, if you like something, I'm not gonna be gross. If I don't like the band, I'll bust your balls about it, jokingly. But, like, there's certain bands I hate. There's certain bands I respect. You know, there's certain bands I don't like, and I respect the lineage, or I respect the artist. Or there's a certain, like I hate the Grateful Dead, right?
They're okay. They're an acquired taste,
right? And I was introduced to them in a really bad way because, and Otto knows this because Otto used to work in the same place I did. These guys I worked with before I became an EMT, they would bring in these bootleg tapes of like all their concerts.
Yeah,
but these guys were so stoned and on stage, and all they all sounded out of tune. They couldn't play. Meanwhile, they put out like 15 or 30 albums, and it's like there's like two or three good songs I really like from them, right? But I can't, yes. I can't invest in them. Another band I didn't like live, but I loved them on record. The Deftones. Love the Deftones, right?
They're good. They're very good. But I've never heard them live.
I saw them twice. Once they opened for Black Sabbath, the original Black Sabbath, with Pantera. That was a three band show. And then I saw them headline with I don't know who. I think it was Incubus opened for them or somebody like that. I forget who. But like,
gotcha.
But they and I gave them a chance. I'm like, all right, because I was dating this girl. Come on, just go see them again. Maybe you'll like them. And I just didn't like them live. I didn't get the vibe. But they're fucking amazing, those guys. Amazing.
But you know what it is? Chino, again, Chino is not a very good vocalist. He's kind of like in the same lines of Jonathan Davis. Chino is a very good frontman, but when it comes to singing, he's not that good. But the music is very. I love the music.
I like their stuff too. Like I'll buy their stuff. Yeah. So I'm all over the place, man. Like
you know which video game introduced to Deftones was Dave Mirra's BMX on PlayStation 1.
Oh yeah,
that was on there. Be Quiet and Drive was the first song I ever heard from fucking Deftones. That song was on that video game, and I was like, who the fuck is this band? And then I showed it to my friend, and he was like, yeah, that's the Deftones, dude. I was like, oh, my God, this is fucking great. I got to listen to this.
I like
guys.
Engine. I think it's called Engine 9 or something. Number,
yes.
That song's fucking dope.
Oh, yeah, dude. They're good.
But I like my hardcore bands, too. Like, and I'm not – there's a couple of straight edge bands I like. I drink. I don't do drugs, but, like, the straight edge bands, they're vegan. They're, there's Earth Crisis and fucking Snap – You listen to an Earth Crisis record, your mind will be blown because they're so heavy. And these guys are fucking drinking soy milk after the show, you know? And it's like, people are like, how can you do that? You fucking listening to them? I'm like, dude, they're fucking amazing. They're amazing. Just because I don't follow their beliefs. Like, I love Megadeth, but I'm not a conservative. Dave Mustaine is the biggest fucking Republican on the planet. But is that going to, steer me away from listening to Megadeth because I love Megadeth? No.
No, of course not.
You know what
not.
I'm saying? Like, I can't, And then some of these guys get the street cred. Like, you go back to Limp Bizkit. If Method Man didn't like the band, he wouldn't perform with them. He didn't have to.
You're right. Uh-huh.
You know? What the hell are you doing over there?
I am drinking iced tea. Arizona green tea.
How's that working out for you?
I love Arizona green tea. It's fucking good.
So how are you enjoying your time home?
I fucking love it, dude. Yeah. Like, I honest to God, I really fucking love it. I finally collected my first week of unemployment.
Okay.
And not gonna lie, I kind of like staying home and not doing anything and getting paid handsomely for not doing anything. I'm sorry, God forgive me, but right now I'm loving this. I know, and I'm pretty sure all good things will come to an end, which means I will have to go back to work eventually. But that's fine. I'm just enjoying my time at home. I'm enjoying playing video games now, man. I've been trying to fucking finish this fucking Pokemon game on my Switch. And then I'm also trying to finish up on my fucking... I keep playing Fire Pro Wrestling. I can't get enough of this fucking game. It's so fucking good.
It is good.
But then on top of that, I have to pay like $80 for more DLC content just so I can download more fucking wrestlers onto the game.
Yep. I know.
It's insane.
I know. I've been playing a little more video games myself.
Oh, by the way, speaking of video, my brother, I'm a huge RPG fan for video games. I don't know why. I just love it.
Right.
I remember playing Final Fantasy VII when it first came out in 1998.
I played the original on PlayStation. Oh, no, Super Nintendo, I should say.
Well, you probably played like Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
VI.
that and fucking what's the other one I liked? Another RPG for Super Nintendo I love. Chrono Trigger.
Oh, Chrono Trigger. That's to me. Chrono Trigger is the best RPG ever made, hands down. Yep. I don't give a shit what anyone says.
So your brother.
But my brother.
Shout out to Danny.
Shout out to Danny. Yeah, what's up, my brother? And he sent me. Without even me knowing, I get a package in the mail. He bought me the Final Fantasy VII remake for PlayStation 4.
Oh.
Oh my fucking God. My mouth dropped open. I was like, no fucking way.
So now you're playing playing this downstairs? You're playing it in your bedroom?
I'm playing my bedroom rent. I haven't played it yet because I'm still focusing on Pokemon. I'm still focusing on Fire Pro Wrestling. Once I'm done with those two games, then I'm going to move on to something else. I have so many games. By the way, when you get a chance, I think it's this month, they're dropping Streets of Rage 4 for download.
On PS4?
Yeah, I think for all systems. I don't know if you're a Streets of Rage fan from Sega Genesis days, but I love Streets of Rage.
I like all those fight. I like fighting games, man. I like all.
Yeah.
What's up, Melanie? What's up, Boo-Boo?
Melanie's. What's up, Mel?
Yeah, I'm into all the. I like mine. Sometimes I you know I'm a sports guy, so I'll play Madden. I'll play the show. I play all this shit.
Of course.
Right. But then I like mindless games like fighting games like Street Fighter and Tekken and like stuff that all I gotta do is kick and punch and throw shit, you know. Like I get into one of those modes where I have to. I bought like the Super Duper Edition of Street Fighter last year.
Yes,
it's like it has every fucking character from every game they put out, and you're like, come on, man. And then you got the marble fighting games too. I have a couple of those, you know. So
well,
I like those games too.
There's a lot of good games coming out this year, and I also, by the way, I don't know if you heard, but I downloaded Uncharted Collection for free on PlayStation Store.
I never played those games.
And the whole collection's on for free now, from now until May.
Uh-huh.
If you want to download it, it's free. Even if you're not a PlayStation Plus member. I also downloaded Journey, which is like an indie game they came out with. Got rave reviews, and that was also free. So I just took advantage of these free downloads. I was like, why the fuck not? I mean, Sony is releasing these games to us during this whole pandemic. Why the fuck not, you know? So I downloaded them. Yeah. And then I just can't get enough of video games right now. I'm so in love with it right now. I'm just glad that I'm not working, because if I was working, I wouldn't be able to play anything.
Hey, now you have time to dedicate to stuff that you haven't done in a while.
Correct. So. Correct.
Anyway, so.
All right.
What's up?
What about wrestling? Wrestling you saw this week?
I watched NXT today. I had to go drop off. I never returned the package to Amazon before until today. I didn't know you could do. There's like these lockers and shit that you just print out the barcode, you slap it onto the package, you send it back. I had no idea you could do that. So I did that. Went to the fucking post office. Went to the drugstore, and then when I came back, I was like, because Shaylin had texted us privately about the whole Velveteen Dream sending naughty pictures out.
Correct.
And you said it was probably a third party, somebody hacked his phone or whatever, and then he said it. So I said, I forgot to watch NXT. I watched the throwback this morning, this afternoon, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched, what else did I watch this week? I watched AEW, most of it, because I fell asleep. So I watched most of AEW. NXT was good this week. I like the whole cross thing with Gargano. With Ciampa. I like Gargano as the heel. I like the heel promo him and his wife cut at the dinner table. That was pretty cool. Interesting. I like the Dream getting involved now with Adam Cole. I like that.
I love the fact that Finn Balor still interjected somehow in that NXT world title picture, because he goes up to the Dream and he's like, yo, don't get it twisted. Don't ever forget that I'm the greatest NXT champion of all time.
Correct,
you know?
Correct.
So it still makes me wonder, like, okay, you still have Finn Balor beefing with the Imperium, right? And then you still have him somehow interjected in the NXT title picture. So you don't know where Balor's going right now. So I love that. I love the fact where I don't know where things are going with Balor. And I love it. Keep it like that. Adam Cole. I didn't see the promo with Adam Cole. That was pretty good. And then, speaking of Adam Cole, they need to bring back story time with Adam Cole from ROH.
Yeah, I feel like they won't use that because it was like an ROH thing. I'm not, you know.
Oh, dude, it was so good when he did it, man. Those story time with Adam Cole was fucking amazing. Good stuff.
Did you watch AEW this week or no?
I saw clips online. The thing with AEW is I don't watch it live. I'll watch it like the next day. Dude, the fucking clothesline that Brody Lee gave to that jobber he fought. Oh my God. Knocked the shit out of that kid. Even Chris Jericho kind of like, it sounded like he got off out of his fucking announcer's chair and like was like, Scavone, did you see that clothesline? He calls him Scavone. I love it. Jericho's probably the best announcer right now in AEW.
I'm not even mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all.
I'm not either. And Scavone's not bad either.
No, of course not. When he's not when he's not being smothered by Jim Ross and fucking awful Excalibur, you know.
Oh, you like Excalibur? Don't lie.
I really don't.
I'm sorry. That's great.
And I watched a whole bunch of ECW this Eliminators this week. I'm prepping for a future throwback. Thank you to Otto. Otto hooked us up. Thank you very much, Otto.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, I have to get a Blu-ray burner and back this up. I have to get one. I have to find one.
Doc and Gordy.
I can't wait. I'm watching a lot of old Japan lately. Old school, old Japan, Misawa, and just, you know, clips and shit.
I was watching Misawa take a powerbomb from fucking Vader. Oh, I was like, ugh. It was nasty. And you know what's crazy? Misawa, he looked older than Vader, and he's not. He's actually much younger than Vader. I think Vader's like 7 years older than Misawa. Misawa just, God, he's so fucking good. I like Misawa so much. Oh my God.
Misawa ages. He looks like one of those dudes that work at the fucking fish market in Seattle that throws the fish at you. Like the Jap, you know, they have a bunch of Japanese guys that work there. He looks like if you throw a long showman hat on him and like a jacket, he looks like he throws fish for a living.
You know? Oh my God. That's funny. That's actually really funny.
Yeah, fish throwing. That's my name of the episode tonight. Fish throwing.
I still think the best out of all Japan is definitely Kenta. Superstar, bro.
The burning
hammer. What a superstar.
Yes, Shaylin, we'll get into that in a minute.
What are you talking about? Dark Side of the Ring. It was good.
We'll get into that in a second.
I was watching, who was I watching? I also saw, I saw the day, I was watching on Instagram. It popped up on Instagram. The debut of Camille on NWA. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Although they're replaying old clips. That's what they did.
Yes. I had never seen it. Man, she's fucking good, bro.
She's solid, and she's banging Bram now. She's banging Bram.
Are they married, or are they just banging?
I know he's banging her because they always post little awful. We're a couple videos on fucking Instagram. And
gotcha. But she's good, man. She's really good in the ring. I was very impressed.
That's why she's hanging out with all this. That's why, you know.
I thought she was just gonna be eye candy. She's really good in the ring.
I don't find her attractive, really. I mean, she's got a nice body and all that, but she's.
Well. She's got that fit look that most guys, like most bodybuilders, go for.
Yeah, but I don't even like her face and all about. Like, if she had a pretty face in the work, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, you know.
Yeah.
She's not China ugly, don't get me wrong, but, like, it's, you know, it's not, it's, you know, but still, regardless, we'll talk about China tonight. She's, you know, a throwback.
Correct.
I'm telling you, man, this is a fucking score. I'm so pissed that Jay's not coming. I'm hoping Jay can come on tonight. Because
I hope so too, because I actually picked a good one. I was like, how about Backlash 2000?
Yeah, someone asked me today who picked the throwback. I said, I think Choppy picked it. I said, but this Choppy is a did. Really fucking good card, man.
It was good, man. It was amazing.
Uptown Georgie said Misawa looks like the dude from the Chino that would make deliveries at any part of Harlem. This is true. Ring that bell. This is true. Yo,
but
people in New York are starving for fucking Chinese food right now because no one's open. They're afraid to open these places up, and then you can't get your Chinos.
I feel bad. I feel bad for the Chinese.
You know, you want a tongue in cheek, that's all you want. We make fun of everybody. We don't leave anybody. We don't leave any stone unturned. But this is no joke, man. Like, this shit going on, I'm going to say this every time until they figure it out, but, like, this is a serious. People are losing their livelihoods, and they're losing their lives because of this shit. So, like, you know, it's fucking, you know, I miss my fucking Chinese food. I'm not a big Chinese food guy, but I like, you know, once in a while, I want to go to the hood, get my chicken wings, hot sauce, you know, my fries.
Once in a while, I would like to order some General Tso's chicken.
Love General Tso's chicken. That's my favorite meal. That's my favorite meal. I'm blessed because I know somebody now who makes it homemade, so it's like, you know, but it's still, it's a lot of work, you know. That's why there's like 17 of them in the back of the kitchen, you know.
Yeah.
So seriously, exactly. Seriously. So, yeah, man. Where were we? Oh, yes. So yeah, we got a good throwback for you tonight. We'll get into that in a few minutes. I did watch. I played the beginning of the show. We opened up with Triple H because they're doing a 25th anniversary tonight. I know it's a very unpopular opinion, but I am a Triple H guy. I love Triple H.
So do I.
I actually have
his
autograph right now is hanging up on my wall, opposite of this whole setup I have here.
You actually met him, or you bought it, or you got the autograph?
I got it as a bonus. I got his DVD, and he only added a few of them in the packaging. Like, he only put out like 50 of them or 20 of them, and I was one of the guys who got it. So I was pretty.
That's
happy.
Dope.
The King of Kings DVD. So
yes.
I you could Golden Shovel suck his dick. He's a McMahon. I heard everything. He buries people. Listen, that dude was money when he got popped. When he popped off and he became Triple H, like the real Triple H, not the Aristocrat type shit. When he became the game, he changed the game.
Yeah.
He forced his peers into better matches. Ask Mick Foley. The Rock just praised him. Austin praises him. Flair praised him. Batista, Randy Orton, Chris Benoit. We can't answer some of these fucking
things. What pisses me off is when people say, like, oh, Triple H was just the guy who got the stars.
No. Even if Triple H didn't marry Stephanie McMahon, okay,
yeah,
he still would have been a top guy.
Course he would.
Yeah. Would he be I don't know. I mean, and please stop with the – I mean, the guy's talented, man. The guy's talented. He's really good.
Okay. I'll put it to you like this. I had a bit of an argument with somebody online about this.
No, not He's you.
Like, not me. And I was like, not really an argument, more of like a debate, obviously, because everyone was like, oh, you know, is Triple H really worthy of all those titles? I'm like, listen, Triple H was a superstar way before he married Stephanie McMahon. He won the Intercontinental title. He was King of the Ring. He won the European title. Then he won the WWF title way before he married Stephanie. And then he became the top heel in 2000 throughout the whole year of 2000 before he married Stephanie. So for everyone to say, like, oh, if he wasn't married to Stephanie, he wouldn't have gotten all that big-ass push. Listen, that's probably a fair assessment. However, let's keep in mind that he probably wouldn't be in the position he is now if he wasn't married to the family. But he probably would still have been a huge success. He probably would have been at least a 10-time world champion, regardless, because he's that good.
And you know, it's fucked up. People are pissing him on him, but if he didn't marry into the family, you would never have NXT.
You would still
FCW would have folded.
Yep.
And you would have had some other like minor league Ohio Valley type of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like you wouldn't have this brand. You know what I'm saying? Like you wouldn't have.
I agree.
Brand. Whether they went public or not, you know what I'm saying? It's, I don't know, man.
Shaylin's right. Shaylin's like, yeah, Triple H learned one of the best in Killer Kowalski. She's right. Killer Kowalski was a machine in that ring. He was a beast.
Yeah, see, Otto thinks marrying Steph only helped him in a corporate position. But in the ring, he would have been the same. Of course.
Of course. He would. Listen, Triple H would have still had a lot of multiple world title wins because he was that good in the ring. Mm-hmm. And in 2000, he was such a dick. He was such a dick in 2000.
He was supposed to be. I mean, it was.
It was great.
When you watch this pay per view tonight, right? When we talk about the pay per view tonight. It defined a new era in wrestling. You know, you were done with the Monday Night Wars. You were, and now you're just grooming guys. They were grooming people. They were, you know, Triple H and Mick Foley and The Rock and Austin. They were still going at it. Kurt Angle was like coming into his own at this point.
Yeah, Kurt Angle was doing really well. Jericho, Benoit.
Jericho was amazing. This match
Eddie
tonight, forget it.
Eddie Guerrero was doing amazing
Eddie
stuff.
Eddie Guerrero was fucking dope. I mean, but with Triple H, and we've talked about this on the show a million times already, but, you know, he is our generation's Ric Flair.
I agree with that.
He didn't have all the Broadways. He didn't have the rough schedule and the territory hopping that Flair had, obviously. But he's the guy who made other guys much better than what they should have been, okay? He made Mick Foley look like Ricky Steamboat. You know what I'm saying? He made Batista. He made Randy Orton. He made Shawn Michaels reborn again. He put Taker over.
My thing with Triple H is that he says that Shawn Michaels is the greatest opponent he's ever had. I disagree. I still think to this very day his best rivalry was him and The Rock.
Hands down.
Because one of the reasons why is tonight. We'll talk about tonight.
Of course.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Hands down. Because those guys feuded for the Intercontinental title when they were mid-carders. And then when they went to the world title scene, they feuded for the world title. That, to me, that just shows what kind. To me, The Rock was the Ricky Steamboat in that rivalry. Whereas, you know, not in terms of, like, being a nice guy, but what I'm saying is he fought Triple H for the Intercontinental title just like Flair and Steamboat for the U.S. title back in the NWA. Now they're fighting for the world title just like Steamboat and Flair did in 89. So it's just like, it seems very similar in some ways, you know?
Uptown George is saying golden shovel. Listen, I disagree, man.
No way, dude. I'm sorry.
If you were starting a wrestling company, if you were 20 years ago this month or this year, if you were starting a wrestling company, he's your number one draft pick. That's it. Him, Austin, Rock, Foley, that's your guy. That's your guy.
In 2002, let's keep in mind the E had lost The Rock to the movies. They lost Austin because he took his ball and went home. And all you really had, and Foley was retired, if I'm not mistaken, that time. All you really had was Triple H, and you had to rely on Triple H to build new guys because they had nobody. They had nobody.
And then they let him loose with DX.
Yeah. What?
So,
come on, man.
Like I don't see. You know, he buried this guy. He buried that guy. Like, but
what, really.
I don't see it. Like Hogan didn't do that, you know.
Yeah, like Hogan didn't do that, or Macho Man didn't do that. A lot of the guys that are on top, they did that. Here's an example. How about when Jericho in 2001 was coming up on his own, him and Benoit? There was reports that Austin didn't want to lose to Jericho. Come on, man! Just like everyone does it when they're on top. It's not just Triple H.
You know, there's certain guys that you just knew.
Yeah,
like when he won King of the Ring, it was like, okay, I think people should stop paying attention to him. And they have a 6-hour fucking tribute to him on the network, right? Legitimately, it's 6 hours. It just goes to his career. They had his opening match against his first match in the Fed is against Buck Zumoff.
I remember, dude. I don't know if you ever seen a clip on YouTube. Do you remember that pedigree he did to that one guy where he almost like he paralyzed the guy?
Yeah.
Oh my God!
You know who named? You know who named that move, right?
Who?
Michael Hayes.
The pedigree?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He wasn't even using that. His original move was like a diamond cutter.
Yes, that I remember. I remember he used it in his first match, in his debut match on WWF TV, and then I believe Diamond Dallas Page called him up. He's like, "Bro, please don't use a diamond cutter. I'm trying to get it over here in WCW. Let me perfect it. Can you please come up with something else? You're still young." And
yeah,
still
so he did, and it was Michael Hayes who gave him the name of the pedigree.
But you know who Michael Hayes named the move the pedigree, but I believe he got that move originally from, if I'm not mistaken, it was Harley Race.
Yeah, and he said that he was working out, and I forgot what agent it was. He said Wahoo McDaniel, somebody said to him, like, use that move. And Triple H's like, that move? He's like, yeah, use that move as the finisher.
Why not?
And that's when it came. Georgie, how did he bury Booker T? How did he bury Booker T? Booker T was retained from WCW, one of the only guys that they kept Booker T was world champion, multiple time tag team champion. He was King of the Ring winner. Like he was a main event guy. Can you give me an example? I need to know an example.
I know what he's talking about. I know what he's talking about. He's talking about the WrestleMania 19 match.
Oh Jesus Christ!
In 2003, I believe they were saying that Booker T was. I mean the dirt sheets. They were saying that he was supposed to win that match, the World Heavyweight Title from Triple H at WrestleMania 19. And for whatever reason, that didn't happen. Triple H ended up winning it because they said that Triple H didn't want to drop to Booker T at that time. And you know what? He may have been right. He may have been wrong. Who knows?
All right, so Booker T wins the title.
He won the title in... Booker T ended up winning the title 3 years later. It doesn't matter.
Oh, now he's pulling a race card. Calling him a boy on a promo? Dude, David, how many racist promos have you seen in Georgia and NWA growing up?
Yeah, what about when Randy Orton was trying to was feuding with Shelton Benjamin? And Randy Orton was like, "Why would I want to wrestle someone like you?" Like, you know, kind of like insinuating, like, you know, because he, you know, he's black. And I was just like, I don't think it was see, you got to keep in mind, Georgie, that the Triple H, even though he's a good promo guy, he was being told what to say.
Or did we forget that Booker T did this on a promo?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm exactly. saying? You know, like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Listen, it is what it is. Things happen. I mean, in the end, Booker T still ended up winning the world title anyways. It doesn't matter at this point. And believe it or not, I mean, to me, Booker T, probably the greatest African-American wrestler ever, in my opinion.
That's not even an argument. I mean, even though Ron Simmons was the first, Booker T was the man, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like
Booker T was a talker. He was a great fucking wrestler. He was a great tag team wrestler. The guy could do it all. He was world tag team champion with multiple people, bro. Multiple people. He was from Goldust.
Yeah.
I believe him and RVD held the titles a couple times. I mean, like, dude. The guy was money from the get-go. Like, United States champion, Intercontinental champion. He was great. And then for people to say that, you know, he was held down, I'm sorry. He did a phenomenal job. And it's like what you said, Phil. He was also great. He did King Booker. That was probably his best gimmick ever. You know?
Hold on a minute.
That's it.
Hold on.
Only click you need to know about is the Harlem Heat and Sister Sherry. See, because what you're dealing with here is the brotherhood. It's nonstop from this point on in WCW. We take what we want. And after we take Lex Luger and the Giant,
right.
We want the Hold gold, on. Sucker. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
Yeah. People like, oh, he was, you know, he got this because of Vince. He got that because of Stephanie. What big company? Every big company does that, you know. Like every company does that. Like they'll hire their son, their son-in-law, their daughter, their fucking cousin. How many bodegas do you know that have a fucking lineage of relatives or restaurants? You know what I'm saying? Like it's whatever it is, man. I don't think he was. I don't think he buried people, man. And if he was, maybe if he had the book. If he had, no pun intended, if he had the book when he fought Booker T, then I'll say, yeah, he buried him. But that was, he wasn't matchmaking. He didn't have any fucking stroke at that point. He didn't have character control. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't that guy. You know what I'm saying? I don't think, and if I could be wrong, but, like, I'm sorry, dude. I don't see it.
But there's, you know, we also, a lot of people are just like, I don't know if you remember this, Evolution, they call that. That era, the Reign of Terror.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, to me, that era was probably one of my favorite times of all of Monday Night Raw, because Evolution is probably one of the best factions of all time. They made main eventers out of that group. They fought. Triple H and Shawn had tremendous matches from that. Triple H and Benoit had great matches from that group. And then you had Randy Orton versus Foley at that time. There's like the feuds were endless from that whole supposed Reign of Terror. I had no about that. I'm sorry. Everything was done perfectly. Everything was done well.
And Otto in the chat room, Otto said, if he buried people, then he's certainly making up for now.
Well, he's right. He's making stars in NXT, man. He's like NXT is his baby, and if he sees something in you, he will make you a superstar.
I said, I'm sorry, Chop. He's also instrumental in bringing back Bruno, Angle, Warrior. I've said that on the show a dozen times already.
What about bringing in Sting, a guy who never wanted to go to WWF at all, and he brought in Sting?
Again, I'm not. When this is all said and done, you might put him on the Mount Rushmore with the Brunos and the Hogans and the. The WWF Mount Rushmore, Cena, you know what I'm saying? Like, he could be that guy. He might be one of those guys, man. When this is all
said
and done,
be.
You know,
he could be. But I mean, was he ever the face of the company? At certain points, it seemed like he was, but he was never the guy. But he was always the guy that made people superstars. He always made people superstars, and I'm sorry, I have no problems with Triple H. I think he's great.
I've been to two WrestleManias, one at Madison Square Garden. I've been to a Game 7 Ranger playoff. I've been to a first-round Game 1 of the Knicks. I've been to Raw. I've been to multiple house shows. I've been to the fucking circus, concerts. I have never in my life heard a crowd pop until we went to the fucking New Japan show. I have never heard a pop that loud for a wrestler besides Hogan when Triple H came back that night when I was there at the Garden. Okay.
When he came back from the quad tour, God.
That's what I played tonight.
I heard it.
I played it a few times on the show before. I just want – that was the reason why he is who he is. You know, when you win a certain crowd over in wrestling, whether it's New York, Chicago, L.A., the big city, big wrestling cities, if you can win those people over, whether you're a heel or not, and he was a heel. He was a heel when he got hurt.
Yep.
So, like, really? 18,500 people are fucking cheering for a heel? He had fucking... I don't understand. Like, that for me... And I was sitting there, dude. I'm in the upper deck. You know? He said Angle was small to be a champion, and Briscoe said let him have a shot. Listen, again, if he was booking, then I say, yeah, he buried people. But I'm sorry, man. He made guys look fucking fantastic.
He did.
Guys who weren't good, too, you know?
I remember him fighting Eugene at SummerSlam 2004. And I was never a fan of Eugene, but he made me look like $1 million in that.
But, and what's funny is Nick Dinsmore could work.
He can.
Yeah, but he didn't work there because he played a fucking half a retard. But
I don't know if you remember this match, but there was also a match on Monday Night Raw where Triple H was the world heavyweight champion and he fought the Hurricane, Shane Helms, and the title was on the line. And there were moments in that match where he made me believe that Hurricane can win the title.
Bro, what about him and Taz on SmackDown? Was it SmackDown or Raw?
Yeah, that was on SmackDown when the ECW champion versus the. Oh my God, that match was so good. I love that match.
You know,
ugh.
I don't know, man. I can't say he buried too many people. You know, I think wrestling fans get caught up in that because he married a McMahon. Yeah, so what? I'd be a fucking executive too if I married a McMahon.
If you married into the family that owns a wrestling business, 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to be in. When you retire, you're probably going to be an exec as well. So please stop.
I'm going to say something very regional. like no shit, Phil does this every week. I'm going to say something really regional. Any Greek diner in New York City, right? Any Greek diner. You walk into a diner, and it's classic, okay? You got the dad behind the fucking cashier. Okay, you got the mom who's a hostess. Okay, you got the son-in-law who runs the fucking kitchen. Okay, the daughter who's probably a college student or a high school student as a waitress, and you got cousins who fucking help clean the table with the fucking Central American guys in the back. You know, so it's like every big business does that. They bring in their own families, and this is a cultural thing too. Greeks do it, Middle Eastern people do it. The Portuguese people do it all the time. Like you just bring your fucking. The Italians are fucking infamous for it. The Albanians are. I mean, they do. The Dominicans do it all the time. It's a thing, man. I'm not mad at that. If Triple H had, like I said, if Triple H had any kind of influence in terms of booking, and then he was burying people, then I say shame on you. You know,
but. Oh, now Georgie's like, would Triple H have put over the Hurricane? The Rock did. Listen, the reason The Rock put it over the Hurricane is because The Rock was only there for a couple of months, dude.
That and they were big on Hurricane at that point.
They were. And then on top of that, listen, the Hurricane is a phenomenal talent. But when he did the gimmick of the Hurricane, Shane Helms, Like, it wasn't a character that you could believe that would be World Heavyweight Champion. I'm sorry. But, like, The Rock putting over the Hurricane, that was smart business. I agree with that move. Because The Rock was only going to be there until, like, what? May? Maybe, like, April, May, that's it? And then he went back to Hollywood.
Dude, look what DX did for Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah, dude! Sergeant Slaughter was past his prime, and they made him look like a superstar.
Prime. Yeah, way past his prime.
Dude!
Way past his prime. Yeah, no, it's no, dude, George, you agree, we disagree. It is what it is. No one's.
It's a debate, and I love debating people about.
Yeah, man,
it's great.
No, it's no one's mad. No one's. I love the opinions, man. If we all agreed on the same shit, I wouldn't have a podcast. So, all right, before we go to break, I saw Dark Side of the Ring. This is the episode that we've been waiting for since last year.
Yep.
I loved it. Okay, let me get your thoughts first, and then I'll do mine, then we'll go to break.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really well done. I wish they could have, like, delved a little bit more into his career prior to WWF, but that's fine. They weren't talking about his career. They were talking more about his assassination, or whatever you want to call it, his hit by the mob. And it was really well done, told very well. I love the fact that the wife was there. The daughter was interviewed. I love the fact that Gino Brito was also involved. A lot of news reports were also involved in it. I loved it. Just the whole aspect of him, you know, just trying to be, he just wanted to support his family and give him a lifestyle that no one else had. You know, that like he couldn't have had when he was younger. So, of course, he once he left the WWF, he went into the mob. And he just wanted to mess with cigarettes. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he just wanted to mess with cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a very well-done, told documentary. Do I think it was better than the Gino Hernandez episode? No, it was not. I still think Gino Hernandez was better.
Let's say hello to Kid Human.
He's in the house.
Yeah, what's up, Kid Human? Yeah, so, all right, here's what bothered me about the episode. I'll start that first. I thought that everybody who was involved knew what was going on, but they were too, like, not proud, but they were too, they loved Dino Bravo as a person, and they didn't want to glorify what he was doing, but they knew what he was doing. Like, I feel like the wife was like, yeah, you know, he did this, but he was still a good dad. And let me tell you something, man. I grew up like that. I grew up with, like my dad was, like, the greatest dude on the planet. But he was a fucking criminal. My father was amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was a fucking criminal. He was a drug addict. But my father took care of his own. And I feel like all these guys knew what was going on, but no one wanted to say anything. Like, they all, like, they knew, but I did not know, you know. Listen, it was classic, okay? He fucked up. He owed money. He was moving. He had stuff he shouldn't have had. They went to his house. There was no struggle. There were multiple multiple people there. They fucking left him like Swiss cheese, and that was it. This is what the mob does. When you steal, listen, in the Italian culture, okay, if you steal from somebody that you know, that's worse than killing somebody. You don't steal from somebody you know, especially in a fucking mob. And that's what he did. He stole from his own people, and they fucking whacked him. You know?
And the funny thing is, even funnier, is the fact that he was related to the people that he was working for.
Was he a great father? I absolutely probably was. Was he a great
friend? I'm sure he was.
Was he an awesome husband? He probably... Listen, my father, and you guys see his picture behind me on my neck too. My father, you ask anybody that was close to him, my dad was the epitome of cool. My dad took care of his family. My dad took care of his neighborhood. My dad took care of his friends. Okay, my dad also had a demon, and that demon made him do shit he wouldn't normally do. He wouldn't rob from people he knew. He would rob like Robin Hood. He'd rob from the rich, give to the poor, and give it to himself for his alms. But that was Dino Bravo. Dino Bravo took care of his people, but when he didn't make any money, he hustled. And if you steal from somebody you hustle from, you're done. That's it. And it was fucked up because organized crime was getting so big in that part of the world that they couldn't really – I think they knew, but they couldn't pinpoint it, you know? And, the case is still open now. Get the fuck out of here. The case is still open now. You're out of here. No one – but you know what the problem is? No one wants to talk about it. That's the problem. That's the problem.
I just find it amazing how unrelated to the whole Dino Bravo case, but I just find it amazing that, you know, Montreal, Quebec is mostly a French-speaking province in Canada.
Correct.
And to find out that there's a bunch of Italians there, speak Italian and also speak French there, is amazing to me.
Dude, there's a huge Italian population in Toronto, too.
I know. I mean, there's a huge Portuguese population in Toronto as well.
Yeah.
So for me to see an Italian speaking French, I was just like, that's fucking great. That's great. I don't know.
Yeah, man. So I enjoyed it.
Georgie said that Ray Liotta should have narrated this episode.
I like Jericho, dude. I like Jericho narrating him, though. I do. I enjoy Jericho. But yeah, Ray Liotta's do all the anything mob related. They should let any of those guys narrate that shit, like audiobooks.
Oh, speaking of mob, I on the Hulu gimmick. You know what's on the Hulu right now?
What's that?
All of the Sopranos.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen the Sopranos.
I think Jimmy Ferrari was talking about that he was rewatching them again and stuff like that.
Dude, I can't wait to start watching that shit.
Oh, that's a fun show, dude. You got to
hell yeah.
Oh, I watched that. I watched them twice. I watched the whole series twice already.
I'm trying to figure out why I never saw the series. I mean, I remember it coming out in like the late 90s.
I've never seen The Wire yet.
I've never seen The Wire yet either, so I don't feel bad.
People have been busting my balls about it for the last decade. I gotta fuck watch them. I still have to catch up with all my superhero shows, man.
Oh, yeah, The Flash, I have to catch up with.
Supergirl and Arrow and all that. I have to catch up. Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm only one season into that. I never saw Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know?
I wasn't a fan. I saw the first couple episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I was not a fan.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
I couldn't get into a show where you got non-powered human beings fighting superpowered beings. Like, I couldn't get into it. It just wasn't my thing. I mean, I was happy to see, like, sometimes you would see, like, Nick Fury in there, like, you know, Samuel L. Jackson in an episode. But then, like, I would love to have seen, like, maybe Cap in there every now and then, or maybe, like, fucking, or maybe, like, Falcon, you know?
I think if Disney was running them at that time when they put it out, I think Disney would have had more influence in that.
And here's the thing, though. Now that these new Disney Plus shows are coming out, there's going to be more of an influence on the TV shows by Disney, because we're going to see Arrow and Falcon. Winter Soldier and Falcon. You're going to see the WandaVision show. Loki has its own show. It's going to be a really good time to be a fan of comic books and comic book TV shows and movies, because Disney does it comes correct all the time. I'm sorry, they just do.
That's what I've been doing. I've been getting back into reading again because I have nothing to do.
And then I don't know if you've heard, but John Krasinski went to go talk with Disney last week, and I think there's rumblings of finally they're going to finalize this deal with him as Mr. Fantastic.
We'll see what happens. I'm more excited. Yeah. I mean the whole concept of bringing Doctor Doom and Submariner into.
Oof.
Black Panther is amazing.
Don't get me started on that. Please don't. I'm so excited.
They're doing another Thor movie. I want another Hulk movie. Like this. I mean, we'll say that for Geek Squad. We're bringing Ghetto Geek Squad back finally. We'll get into that later on. In the next couple of weeks. We're doing a Star Wars thing next month for Empire. So, because we have all this free time now. So,
tons of free time.
Anyway, before we go to break, I'm going to be playing music after the show tonight. I'm going to be playing music. I'm going to open the chat up. We have Skype back. I have a phone number for everybody to call in and want to call in and make a request of when to talk and hang out, take some calls. Maybe we'll do some. You know, you got any problems? You want to talk about stuff? Get off your chest. You want to request a song? You want to tell me how sexy I am? You can do all that now. I posted the number on the group page. I posted the number on my main page. So that's it. Anything before we go to break?
I think you're sexy.
Thanks, pal.
That's what I'm here for, buddy.
I know. That's definitely what you're here for. All right, so hopefully Big Copper Pump joins us. If not, then he'll be back next week. But
if not, we're going to have a conversation.
Oh, boy. not the conversation. All right, man. Listen, Chop, mute your mic. And yep. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. You listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're live on the rant. And we got a cool fucking really kick-ass throwback for you guys tonight. Really kick-ass tonight.
Hell yeah.
We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Okay, let's give this a try. The Shining Wizards is a funny wrestling podcast. No. The Shining Wizards is an insightful wrestling podcast. How about this? The Shining Wizards is a great wrestling podcast that airs live Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on RantDMRadio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. Of course, it's available on all podcasting platforms. I think that covers it. To check us out, go over to ShiningWizards.com and get ready to join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
I don't know.
All those moments will be lost in time. Like tears in the rain.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite. Where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot. Where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety. There is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Horns up, beautiful motherfuckers. Radioactive Metal is here on the Shining Wizards Network, and we want you to listen.
Every week, we cover the world of heavy metal and speak to your favorite bands.
We discuss new releases, concerts, controversies, and everything else that's related to heavy metal.
And occasionally, we even talk about pro wrestling.
Catch us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net.
Listen to past episodes at RadioactiveMetal.org or at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
Hey, this is the Queen of Extreme, Francine, and you are listening to Phil, Jay, and that pin in the ass Choppy on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game and how you play it. All about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game.
Right.
You don't wanna play me. I am control. No way.
I am heavy debt. No way you can pay me. And everything else, he was friends with Lemmy, man. Lemmy's the fucking greatest of all time, man. You kidding me?
I agree.
Lemmy's the fucking ultimate one of the metal gods. If you're cool with Lemmy, you got to be a cool motherfucker, man. You got to be. And he even spoke at Lemmy's fucking funeral.
He did.
Like, they were like they were heavy metal fucking icons there, and they let him go on a podium. Not Rob Halford, not Ozzy. I mean, they did eventually, but like they let fucking Triple H go up there. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, dude.
Correct.
I don't know, man. I'm bugging. All right, we're back. Typical throwbacks. It's Phil. It's Choppy. Minus fucking Jay.
Fuck him.
No, don't say that.
I'm kidding.
Don't do that to Jay.
Don't
do that to Jay. Please. Please don't do that to Jay.
Please.
Fuck the revival.
Please,
fuck the revival.
This guy's a fucking mook.
Oh, man. By the way, did you see those new gimmicks that Vince was going to put those guys on?
No.
If they didn't leave the company?
No, I didn't.
Oh, dude, they had him dressed like fucking, like, Doink the Clown at certain points. It's insane. I got to show you the pictures. Yeah.
All right.
It's awful.
I'm glad they'll be in a couple of months. They'll be neat. Did you see what Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows are doing?
I've been following them on Instagram. They've just been posting stuff of themselves. And
did you see what EC3 did?
No.
He posted a video of him working out to the Judas song.
That's great. I love it.
So you know where he's going.
Of course.
All right.
We all know.
All right, guys. Let's do it.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
I'm pulling a page from Mr. Kevin Joseph Garifo's book. I'm having some twisted teas tonight.
Hey, look at you, Alki.
Hey, Alki. I love it. He said, you Alki?
Hey, look at you, Alki.
Look at you, you fucking lush. All right there.
Lush.
All right there, Uncle Ray.
Oh, man, that's funny shit.
All right, we're taking this back to April 30th, 2000. From the new MCI Center, not too far from the residence of our resident down south guy, Mr. Nick German Suplex.
This is true.
Home of the Washington Capitals and the Wizards, who were the Bullets, but of course they fucking changed the name because they were afraid of, you know, whatever. But 16,614, Choppy 1.62 on the buy rate.
That's a huge buy rate.
That's almost 2 million, right?
It's 1 million. Was it 1.62 you said?
Yeah.
1,620,000 buys.
Okay.
And with probably, I'm pretty sure the pay-per-view was being sold for like what? $40?
$40, $35, yeah.
So that's a lot of bread right there. That's a lot of money, man.
All right, ladies.
And then
yep.
And then on top of that, you said 16,000 fans packed that fucking 16, arena.
16,6, yeah. Yeah, 16,6.
It's a lot of fucking people, dude.
You're talking about WWF Backlash from the Washington District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. Jim Ross, Jerry the King Lawler, Mitchell Cole in the back.
I love the entrance. I miss this entrance. I don't know what it was. Me and my brother, when we used to watch the Attitude Era pay-per-views, we were like, bro, I wish they would bring back the Backlash entrance as like a regular entrance to like a Monday Night Raw or something, because that was the best entrance to me. Mm-hmm. To me, it was. So.
This was fun, man. I enjoyed. I mean,
you're welcome.
Yeah,
no problem.
He said, "You're welcome." You mother jumper. He said,
"Choppy's a pain in the ass."
WCW pay per views.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Of course, I am.
Anyway, all right. Your opening contest, Chop, for the WWF World Tag Team Championship.
Edge and Christian, who are the champions, against Road Dogg. Spock
with Tori.
Now, keep in mind, people, the Deborah was the announcer. Oh my God, she was so non-enthusiastic when announcing these scenes. She was awful. And you know what's funny though? When her music hit, people were a little confused. They're like, "Wait a minute, is that Jeff Jarrett?" Harper, that's right. I forgot he still worked for the company.
Down, 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 down.
Fucking yeah.
Slap nuts.
Nah. I forget it. I was done with her. This match was actually a really good opener.
Yeah, good match. Eight and a half minutes.
I was at the time when this in 2000, when I was 16 years old. I had a tough time to see who. I was trying to figure out who should I cheer for in this match when it first came out, because you know Edge and Christian were on their were on the way to becoming the heels of the tag team division, and then Road Dogg and X-Pac, it just seemed like they were going out the door eventually, and this match was really, really good. I just love the fact that even though Edge and Christian are trying to make Edge and Christian the heels, they were still the baby faces in this match. And X-Pac sucks chants were surrounding the fucking arena. That man cannot get cheered for anything. If you people don't know what I mean by the people that listen to the throwbacks.
Okay, terrific.
Like what I mean by that is the fact that when somebody chanted X-Pac, heat, which means we don't want to see you no more. That's where the term came from, because people were sick and tired of X-Pac. They just did not see this mother.
Yeah,
he's a skinny little prick. He didn't do anything.
I was heavy into the New Age Outlaws, so not seeing Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. No disrespect to X-Pac, I just didn't like not seeing Billy Gunn. I loved the New Age Outlaws. They're like my favorite team. They were my favorite team at this point.
So was I. I was very I was not into Road Dogg and X-Pac, and it seemed to resonate with other fans, because if people liked Road Dogg and X-Pac, they would have been WWF Tag Team Champions. They didn't have titles ever. So,
yeah.
Forget them.
Yeah, no, this was a good match, and Choppy basically took the thunder from me by letting everybody about the X-Pac heat. X-Pac heat was real, dude.
X-Pac, it was legit.
It was legit. When I say you had X-Pac heat, that's the example they should play. They should play this night, you know?
At certain point, I don't know if you agree with me or not. At certain points, I felt like Vicky Guerrero used to get X-Pac heat.
Oh my! Excuse me. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I used to be like, oh, here comes this cunt.
No, I should get that as a soundbite. Excuse me.
You should. If you get that, that'd be great.
I'm gonna get that. Yeah, I should get that.
And no disrespect to Vicky Guerrero, she was
no dark. Vicky. Vicky Guerrero was fucking money, man.
She was great.
And she didn't believe it. Once she started believing in her character, she was dope, man.
She was good.
Yeah, man.
When she was managing Dolph Ziggler, I loved it. I thought her and Dolph Ziggler had great chemistry together. But going back to the match, this match was really, really well done. The winners were obviously Edge and Christian. They just won titles at WrestleMania. They're not going to drop the belts again the next month. So Christian hits X-Pac with the ring bell, and they get the pin. And I believe it was at like 9 minutes and like 20 seconds, whatever the hell it was. And it was a very good match. Very back-and-forth match. I was loving it from start to finish. What are your thoughts?
Good opening match. I rooted for Edge and Christian because I didn't like Road Dogg and X-Pac together.
Correct.
And clearly, you just defined everything I was thinking about, so really we're on the same page. The next match I enjoyed.
Oh.
The next match I enjoyed thoroughly. And, this is the first time I'm watching this pay-per-view in 20 years. So, gotcha. Like, I can't, this wasn't something I watched when we got the network on 2014. I could wholeheartedly tell you that I have a total new respect for Scotty Too Hotty.
He's a good worker, dude.
He's a fantastic worker, and he wasn't bad, right? He was really, really good, but Dean Malenko forced him to be better.
Correct.
Light heavyweight championship match, Dean Malenko against Scotty Too Hotty. This match went almost 12 minutes, dude.
It did, and the shooter, my God, the shooter worked that fucking leg throughout the whole fucking match. It was beautiful to
watch
this.
Dude, yeah, man. He most certainly did. And you didn't feel like it was 12 minutes long almost.
No, I was enjoying every second of this match. I enjoyed. I mean, I popped for the worm. And this is me, 36 years old. This is 20 years later. I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe I just popped for the worm. I loved it. It was great.
How about JR telling the King he tried doing the worm in his backyard and he hurt himself?
I remember that.
That's pretty dope. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish your point.
But the to me, the spot of the match was the last part of the match when Scotty went for the superplex, and then Dean Malenko reversed it to a DDT
and
off the top of the rope
and dropped him on his face. Yeah.
Oh my God! The crowd popped for that one, even though Dean Malenko was the heel, and Dean Malenko retains the title. And I love this match. It was, I know it's the light heavyweight title match where it's supposed to be like fast paced, but it didn't need to be because Dean Malenko was a technician. He dictated this match, and the match was so good. I was very thrilled with this match.
Any high flyer that fought Dean Malenko, he grounded them. Ask Psychosis. Oh. Ask Rey Mysterio. Ask Super. Ask Hoovy. You know, ask any of those high flyers that he fought. You know, they'll ask Too Cold Scorpio. Ask any of those dudes. Ask Sabu.
Ask Eddie when in ECW.
Yeah, ask Eddie Guerrero. I was there for one of those matches. You can. Yeah, I can't. I'll put Dean Malenko over for the rest of my days, man. He's, to me, we share a birthday, and seeing him live, seeing him on pay-per-view, seeing him and meeting him, guy's a class act. There was nothing he did. He was a horseman, and he was very well as a horseman, and he did his job so good. He's another guy that made other guys better, and he made Scotty Too Hard look like $1 million in this match.
Can I just say something? You know what I didn't realize? That the Radicals almost held every belt at one time. Like, you had Benoit. Think about this. Benoit is Intercontinental Champion. Dean Malenko was light heavyweight champion. And then Eddie was European champion. And then at one point, Saturn grabs hold of the hardcore title. That group was pretty successful, goddammit. Really successful group.
That's why they signed. They knew what they had to have known that they had something special, and they knew they weren't going to get paid where they would get paid, and they knew where the money was, and they knew how talented they were. You know, it's especially as humble as Benoit would have been, and as amazing as Eddie was as it went progressively to the next couple of years, like, those guys were special, and you knew they were special. You know, and when they brought them in together, you were like, this was a big deal, you know, because they had all the accolades already.
I lost my mind when I saw those four on WWF television.
When they jumped the guardrail, I'm like, yeah, this is a wrap. This is a wrap. It's going to happen.
Oh, my God. I lost my shit. I called my brother. I think I was 16, and my brother was probably 12. I called my brother into the room. I was like, yo, look at this shit. And he was like, he was like, what's going on? I was like, look. He was like, oh, my God, that's Benoit. That's fucking Dean. What the fuck? Oh, it was great.
Everybody
because I think Because I think he was watching WCW, and I was watching WWF. So we were trying to tell each other what was going on.
Do you know who was a big, big, big fan of this? And he'll tell you this day, Kevin Castle.
Really?
Kevin Castle and I would talk on Monday nights because Kevin was booking for the bands. So even when I wasn't in the band anymore, I was still in another band, but he would call all the bands if they wanted to play shows, and he'd do this every week, you know? But we get into a talk. We start talking about wrestling because he's watching wrestling. I'm watching wrestling. You know, it was Monday night. You know, and I remember him telling me like, "This is a big deal." I'm like, "Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal," and it was. And I'm glad for them, man. So 11:47. This was a fantastic match. Meltzer gave us a 4. Do we care? No, but I'm just telling you what Meltzer did.
Who cares? Who cares what Meltzer says? As long as we.
I just have the Meltzer ratings here. That's all. I pulled up the page and it was there. So I didn't go digging for him. It was volunteered to me.
Now, our next match is not a technical match. It was slobber knocker, as JR said.
Yeah.
It was the Acolytes, a.k.a. the APA, versus the Big Boss Man and Big Bad Bull Buchanan.
Yeah, not a fan of Bull Buchanan.
I was very impressed with his athleticism.
For a big guy, yes.
For a guy his size. Now, in terms of personality, he had no personality. He had no charisma.
No.
And his timing was so off sometimes. Like, you're just like, what? Why the fuck did this guy get into wrestling to begin with? Yeah. And he had a look.
He had a look. Yep, he sure did.
So, yeah, I mean, the match was, oh, my God. Bradshaw with those fucking clubbing forearms to the guy's backs. Oh, my fucking God. He is so stiff. He is definitely... Yeah. If you never got to witness Stan Hansen, then he...
Yeah, but the difference between him and Stan Hansen is Stan Hansen wasn't a fucking dickbag. And yeah. now that I know more about Bradshaw, I never liked Bradshaw. Never. He has an amazing clothesline. I never liked him as world champion. I liked him with the Acolytes, but I didn't like... Now that I know more about him, what a dick. But
yeah, he's an asshole.
This was a good match, though. Eight minutes, 37 seconds. This was the same time as the Tory... DX Christian Edge match, 8:37. They went the same distance.
The match was not that bad. I enjoyed it. It was basically a fucking fist fight. And, of course, Boss Man being the veteran in the match, he gets the Boss Man sucks chance, which I feel like Boss Man got to a certain point that I didn't give a shit about the Boss Man. You know? I cared more about him in the 80s and in the early 90s, and then maybe in the mid-90s when he was in the U.S. regular. And now, it's like now you're looking at him like, eh, who cares?
Wait, Shane Lynn saying the only two radicals that were successful, Benoit and Guerrero. I disagree. Malenko and Saturn, multi-tag team championships.
Nope, they did not.
What do you mean?
Saturn and Malenko never won the tag team titles together.
No, not together, but they were tag team champions in other places, ECW.
Oh, yeah, of course. But I think what Shane Lynn's trying to say.
In WWF, right? No.
Yes, I think that's what she meant.
If that's what she meant, then yeah, she's 100% correct. I'm sorry,
but I feel like Saturn could have been a much bigger deal if they had given them the ball, but they never gave him the ball.
Before we get into that match, how about Bull and Bossman getting a win over the Acolytes?
Yes, because Bossman hits fucking Bradshaw on the nightstand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, they pin him, and that's it. It was about 6-7 minutes. It wasn't too bad.
No,
I enjoyed it.
8 minutes, 37 seconds. It went the same time as the opening match.
Gotcha. Now, the next match was really fun.
Now, so Crash Holly's the hardcore champion, right?
Correct.
There's a spot in the back where hardcore Holly says to him, even though we're cousins, if it comes down to us, I'm going to kick your ass. And Crash goes, come on, cousin. Let's act as a team. We act as a team. We can take all these guys out. And then when we beat everybody else, we can fight. And he gives him a slap.
He's like, come on. We're together. Come on.
Come on, man. Slap. Right in the fucking side of the ear.
Oh, and it was a stiff slap.
Oh,
too.
My
it was...
God. I was like, oh, ugh. What a douche. Yes. What's that?
You want to talk about bullies? You want to talk about Bradshaw being a bully? What about Hardy Holly?
Oh, yeah, Holly was a fucking bully too, man.
Me and him share a birthday, but man, he was dick.
Hardcore Choppy?
Hardcore Choppy.
Choppy,
boom, boom.
Choppy Holly?
No, Hardcore Choppy's better. This match was really, really fun. A lot of different spots. My favorite spot of the match was Jeff Hardy riding that stupid, like, part of the entrance, and then doing a Hurricane Rana off the entrance, the swinging I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, I got you.
You know that little thing that he was swinging off of. That was a really cool spot. Then Matt Hardy going to the very top and doing a cross body off the top of the stage. I wish Taz had won this match. Mm-hmm. He deserved. Oh, chance of ECW throughout the match. It was really fun. You know, it was cool to see Jeff Hardy doing that swanton off ladder to, I want to say it was Crash Holly, I think.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But
no, yeah, I think you're right.
Very fun match. Taz does put the Taz mission, I think it was on Crash, and then the crowd lost their mind. They popped big for the Taz mission.
The Katahachime.
Oh, that crowd popped for Taz, dude. They love Taz. And I just wish I did more with Taz and UF. It's just that he was too injured, too fucked up. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Crash retains the title. He just drapes his arm over. Mind you, Crash got his ass beat throughout this whole match. He hardly had any off. And it was like, and he's not even a heel. He just drapes his arm over the guy's chest and is like, 1, 2, 3, and he wins the match.
I'm sorry. Shaylin said spark plug choppy.
Spark plug choppy? Fuck you,
I didn't think I just found the name of the episode.
Oh, you're a dick.
Fucking awesome. Good job, Shaylin. Shaylin for the win, boo-boo.
No, what about Bodacious Choppy? Because he was also
part of the new Bodacious Choppy. Oh. Sparky Plug.
Sparky Plug Choppy.
Oh, my
man.
God.
That's
so awful. Crash retains. I mean, how, we don't know, but at 12 minutes and 18 seconds, he wins the match. I was never into the hardcore title at all. Never into it.
It was a cheap knockoff of the ECW.
That's another. I can't. I don't even have time to complain about that one. I keep you here all night. So the next match. So Kurt Angle needed a kit. The build up was Kurt Angle needed a tag team partner for a tag team title match, and Big Show was going to like a midlife crisis apparently, and he wasn't even midlife yet. He was imitating all these wrestlers. He was dressed up as Val Venus. He dressed up as fucking who else did he dress up as?
Shokishi,
Goldust, and so Kurt Angle gets so mad at him that he slaps him in the face several times. And Show, of course, doesn't like that, and then turns on Kurt. And now Kurt challenges him for the match. So now it's Kurt Angle versus the Showster. Big Show comes out in Hulk Hogan's gear.
But to a tremendous pop, by the way.
Tremendous pop. And then he cuts the Hogan promo. Takes Kurt Angle. Put it this way. Kurt Angle was outside of the ring more time than this match took.
Correct.
This match was 2 minutes and 35 seconds long. Of course, Show wins. But Kurt Angle wasted more time, you know, lollygagging than he did when he was in the match.
Correct. It was a fun little comedy match. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a filler.
The spot where he does the whole Hogan routine where he big boot to the face, leg drop.
Yeah.
Crowd lost their fucking mind when he did that. That just shows that at that time people still wanted to see Hogan on TV. You know, in WWF TV, not WCW TV.
2 minutes, 35 seconds. Yeah, big.
Yep.
I haven't seen Big Show's show on Netflix yet, but I heard it's terrible.
I heard it's awful.
But I'm gonna watch anyway because I like him. I'm a fan of Big Show, so I'll watch. I'll support whatever he gets.
I was never a fan until I was a fan of his when feuding with Kevin Nash in the NWO back in like 96, 97. That's when I became a fan.
After they turned on?
And after they turned on. And then after that, I never cared for him too much. I always cared for the guys that beat the shit out of him. Like, for example, when Brock Lesnar put Big Show on his shoulders and he fired Big Show for. I couldn't believe it. So that was really cool to see.
And they put him in some terrible matches in WrestleMania with like Aki Bono and fucking what's the guy, the boxer's name?
Mayweather?
Floyd Mayweather Jr. Yeah. Now, this next match, tag team match, I thought Test and Albert would have been bigger than what they were.
Correct.
Am I bugging or they should have been?
No, they were a good team. I enjoyed the team, especially with.
You're breaking up, Chop.
I said that with Trish Stratus as the manager, with those two guys, they would have been great.
Oh, she was a fucking smoke show, too.
Dude, she, like, when she, that vignette that they played prior to the match, she sounded like she was 16 years old. Was she purposely doing that?
I don't know, but
it was weird.
But that camel toe wasn't 16 years old. I can tell you that.
Ooh, she was a nice 24. She was very young.
She was what? A nice what?
She was a nice 24 years old at this time. She was very young, very very young. And then, like every time I would see her, man, fucking what's her name? Alexa Bliss looked exactly like her at this. It's insane.
Yeah, she like, was a fucking smoke show.
She was. She was one of my favorites during the Attitude Era. A lot of people were gravitated towards Trish and Lita, and you know, Trish was that was my girl right there. She was good at what she did.
Yeah, dude, she was fucking smoking hot, man.
Yep, I couldn't agree more.
Fucking smoking hot. I was like,
hello, gorgeous.
I was like, hello, gorgeous.
Yeah,
hello,
you gorgeous. Were like you were like Bubba Ray Dudley.
Oh.
Bubba Ray Dudley did the same thing. Is it just me or the Bubba Ray Dudley during the match?
The what?
Did Bubba Ray Dudley have a nosebleed during the match? Because it seemed like he was bleeding from the nose.
Possibly.
Because I noticed a lot of blood on his forehead and a little bit on his... He looked in the blood.
Maybe. So. Yeah, I mean, he possibly, yeah.
And then another thing I noticed about the match is Albert. I don't know what spray tan he was using, but he had like brown blotches all over his shirt throughout the whole match. I was like, the fuck is going on with Albert? Did he roll in shit before he got into this match?
I think the bigger those dudes are, they have a hard time putting stuff on.
It's funny.
That stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, my favorite spot of this match was when Test nailed that big boot, I believe it was on D-Von. Oh, it looked like he knocked the shit out of D-Von with that big boot.
Oh, my God.
And then, to me, Test could have been world heavyweight champion. I don't know what it was about him. He could have been something big in that company. And because I don't know if you remember this, in 2001, it was insane. In 2001, he had won every title besides the world heavyweight title. He had been hardcore champion, European champion, intercontinental champion, tag champs with Booker T. It was insane how many titles he had won that year. And I was like, looking at him, I was like, man, this guy might actually become world champion one day. And unfortunately, it never happened. But he was very good in the ring. You remember his match with Shane McMahon at SummerSlam 9, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, dude, that was insane. That was a good match. So this guy can work. Albert, on the other hand, Albert was not a bad worker, but he was like, he didn't have the charisma that Ted. But they're both pretty good in the ring. They're really good in the ring.
I want to get Albert stuff in Japan with Carl Anderson. They were a tag team.
Oh, when
Giant Bernard.
Yeah, what were they called? The group.
I forget, but they were in All Japan, I think.
Yes, they were also NWA tag team champions. And if I'm not mistaken, they were Noah tag team champions as well. I gotta look that up.
Yeah.
Giant Bernard.
Oh, you're in front of the computer? Look at you doing work.
Of course. I like to work every now and then.
Thanks, pal.
That's what I'm here for, buddy.
And Patrice, this is for you, baby.
Nice, lemon ice.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep. Him and Carl Anderson were also champions.
What was the name of their team?
Ah, shit. Hold on. Let me see if I can get that. If I could find that, it's on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, man.
So, hold on. Sorry, guys.
It's all right.
Bad intentions.
That's right.
That's what it was. And then together they also became the IWGP Tag Team Champions.
They were New Japan. I forgot about that.
Yes, yeah. They were.
Giant.
Banana. And I was incorrect. They were not NWA Tag Team Champions, but they were IWGP Tag Team Champions and also Noah Tag Team Champions.
So not All Japan then.
Not All Japan.
So they
no.
were, I'm sorry. So they were Noah and they were no, New
and,
Japan.
And Noah and New Japan, correct.
Stand corrected. Bad intentions. I got to get some of that stuff.
Oh, believe it or not, him and Tomko were also tag team champions in New Japan as well.
Oh, you know what? I can go on New Japan World and look up some of that stuff too, right? Yeah.
Yeah, of course, dude. Why not?
So I'm going to do that too. I'm going to do that this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, jerk off.
Yeah, nice lemon ice.
nice lemon ice.
I forgot about that.
That's right. It's your boy right there.
Man, that's my boy.
All right. So Test and Albert beat the Dudleys 11:06. It was a good match.
And then of course Bubba Ray and dude, that had to be the shittiest 3D I saw at the end of the match.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. And
sloppy.
I didn't want to say it because you know I'm very biased. I don't like the Dudleys. I was waiting for somebody else to say it. I was waiting for you to say it. But that was terrible.
Oof. And then and you know what it was? I think Bubba Ray forgot that he had to do 3D with D-Von. So he kind of missed his spot, but he still managed to pull it off. It was a shitty 3D. But then they managed to actually grab Trish and actually powerbomb right through the table. It was a good spot. Good match.
Jamie's asking, question for y'all, over under New Japan show happening in August. All right, here's what's going on with that. We've been in talks with our crew because we're going to be there if it goes down, right?
Yeah.
The pre-sale is next month. They're in New York City right now, Jamie. They're right now in preliminary talks to start opening certain agencies by the end of next month. I, as a healthcare provider right now, I don't see it happening in terms of opening the city. But if they start opening the city by next month, which is when the pre-sale, because they postponed the pre-sale till next month, if they're going to start opening up the city at the end of next month, then I definitely see that show going on. And if that's the case, then they're going to bring sports back slowly, you know, like baseball and apparently hockey is already ready to go. They're going to play into the summer if it goes down. Again, this is all speculation. I don't know. I'm going by what the governor says every day. I don't go by fucking the news sites and shit like that, because I just watch him and I pay attention to the CDC for the clinical shit. So I don't know. So I'm going to say, right now I'm saying under. Like, I'm saying maybe 60-40, it doesn't go.
I'm going to be the optimist, and I'm going to say that eventually, I think by the end of May, we're going to start seeing stuff open up little by little. However, in terms of sporting events, especially wrestling in general, I think the New Japan show is probably not because we're so densely populated over here in New York that it's going to be very, very hard to keep these numbers plateaued.
So you're people. So you're pessimistic, not optimistic.
Optimistic as in like we're going to like things will start opening up little by little, but not by.
So you think? So you think we're not going to get the show then?
I don't think so. But I'm trying to be as optimistic as I can be. But there's also that little pessimism that hits. It kind of hits my head a little bit because people are not following what they're supposed to be doing here in New York. But we'll see what happens. Who knows?
All right, we got three more matches. I'm sorry. The next match.
This match was fun. This match was fun.
Yeah, Eddie Guerrero with China versus Mamacita. Versus defeats S.A. Rios and Lita. So S.A. Rios and Eddie were tagging a few times. Lita got involved and fucking botched their matches up. So and China said to her, you do it again, you're going to get fucked up. She did it again for a third time or a second time, whatever it was, and that exploded.
China threw Lita to the Dudley Boys. And the Dudley Boys powerbombed Lita.
Through a table, yeah. S.A. Rios, formerly Aguilar, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And this was his mid-card push for, like, 5 minutes?
Yep.
Yeah.
Eddie Guerrero was in phenomenal shape in this match.
He was in phenomenal shape, and the story was he never went to his high school prom. So him and China said if he went and got his GED, and China said if they win the match, they can go on a prom date. So Eddie got himself a fucking bow tie, dress pants, rented a fucking old school car, like one of those fucking I don't know what they call those cars. Fucking those
lowriders?
No, it wasn't a lowrider. It was a fucking
you're talking about the
Mr. Miyagi car.
The
Mr. Miyagi car that he had in his fucking backyard. He made Daniel fucking wax.
Yeah.
In his backyard. Show me sand the floor. You know, show me
sand
fucking...
Sand the floor.
Wax the fucking car, jerk off. What, sand my deck, fucking white boy. All right?
all right? Sand my deck, guinea.
Send my deck, round eye. All right?
Round eye.
Round eye. Miyagi.
Miyagi. I love it.
Miyagi.
I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. This match was really, really good. The I thought Eddie was going to use the frog splash in this match, and apparently I think his forearm was still not at 100%.
He did some kind of fucking airplane fucking...
He did the...
What the fuck was that?
That was the airplane spin into a neck break.
Oof.
Scenario.
Jesus.
And he came out really nice. Because it's Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, no. And that S.E. Rios weighs $180, right? I mean, Eddie makes it. Again, Eddie's another guy who makes people look good. He made Aguilar look like fucking Rey Mysterio, you know?
Dude, what about that somersault plancha that.
Oh, yeah.
That he did at the corner? Oh, my God. I thought he was. killed Eddie.
Yeah, S.A. Rios can fucking bump too, man.
Yes, he could. Yes, he could. The match ended with the airplane spin into a neck breaker.
Yep.
And Eddie Guerrero retained his title. And then on top of that, and then
the European title.
Yeah, the European title. And then Lita comes in and starts ripping off China's gown.
Yeah.
And people started like going nuts for this. And then Eddie was like, hey, you know, kind of like what I'm doing now.
They might skip the prom, go right to the fucking hotel.
And then he's trying to like grab her and she's like, yo, stop.
Hey, don't touch me, you filthy Mexican.
It was funny. Yo, his mullet was on point.
What'd
you think?
I loved his mullet. Oh, look who's in the room. Mark from Detroit.
Who's in the room?
Mark from Detroit.
Marky.
The Java Junkies in the building.
That's right.
Now
your next match.
Ooh, this is my favorite match of the night, by the way.
Ooh.
This is my match of the night, and I...
I agree. This is my match of the night, too. This match is so good.
For the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship, Chris Benoit, the crippler, defending against Chris Jericho, who's fucking white hot at this point. Jericho is on point.
And you want to know why? Because earlier in the month, he beat Triple H for the WWF title.
Yes.
Because Earl Hebner did a fast count, but then Earl Hebner reversed the count. And then Triple H fired Earl Hebner. And then he got the title back. So Jericho never technically won the title. Crowd popped tremendously for Jericho winning that title on Raw. So now we're out here for the Intercontinental title. We have Chris Benoit, the crippler, the murderer champion, versus Chris Jericho, the white
the murderer.
And, dude,
yeah,
the chops that were being thrown in this match, no pun intended, but chops were being served.
Serving up the chops, baby. Uptown Georgie said S.A. Rios looks like a Mexican Kid Rock. Can you ring the bell for that, please? That's outstanding.
Wow.
Okay, Kid terrific. Rock,
That's fucking hysterical. That's hysterical. Yes. You know, Chris Jericho is very comfortable talking about Benoit, and this is the reason why. You know, we got shit. Since you've been on the show, but I've gotten shit, and other co-hosts have gotten shit for talking about him, Benoit, I mean, in a high regard because of what he did as a person. And I'm not going to defend the whole different, you know, I could differentiate the character from the person. But you can't deny his ring prowess, his skill, and his grit. He was one of the fucking best to ever do it, man.
Bro.
It's sad. It's sad that it tragically took a turn for the worse. And it's sad that he's no longer here and he killed his fucking family. And then himself, obviously. But, like, you can't deny his skills. Like, he's one of the greatest to do it, period.
Dude, when his music played and he walked out, I didn't even recognize him, bro. He was jacked to the fucking gills in this match. He had muscles in places that most places. That's how fucking jacked he was. He has traps. He almost looked like he didn't even have a neck. That's how big he was. He was in phenomenal shape. Not to say that Jericho was not in. Benoit was ready to like fucking look like he was about to kill him in this match. German suplexes, belly to back suplexes, gut busters, abdominal stretches. It was insane, this match.
Yeah,
and
man.
Then and then a top rope springboard drop kick that Jericho does onto the outside. Benoit literally swats him out the way. And Jerry Lawler was like, oh, my God, this is my favorite move. Benoit swats Jericho. And then the King's like, what? He missed him.
Yeah. Outside the ring, that was great.
But this match was so good. It was the ending was like people were pissed off at the ending.
Can we talk about Jericho for a second, though?
Of course.
How fucking great he was at this point?
Of course. He was on fire.
I was telling Fallon this tonight. I was like, I can't tell you how excited I was for this when we did it again, because you know, and we just heard Jericho talk about Benoit on the Dark Side of the Ring thing, right? And I was like, man, like, can you just imagine if Benoit was around 10 years later, or you know, or even 20 years later, or like, can you imagine him being around now, like in AEW or like New Japan or even WWE at one point? Like, you know, like, just,
I mean,
I don't know. I feel like he would have been still, he would have been still on his game.
Oh yeah. Oh my God!
Like Jericho, because Jericho is fucking timeless right now.
Jericho is in the role right now. In people can give me shit for this, but Jericho is in the role of Ric Flair right now.
Putting guys over,
and pretty much, and then he'll get like a world title here or there, you know. And Jericho's okay with that. He loves that. He loves the wrestling business.
Shaylin, a lot of guys were abnormally ripped for their size. Benoit being no different, absolutely.
We could do a whole
podcast on wrestlers who decided to take stuff and enhance their bodies.
Come on, Benoit was not taking.
No.
he was just drinking Kool-Aid. Come on.
Yeah, so it's disqualification. Benoit wins by DQ.
Jericho puts the title up in the air while Benoit was going for the diving headbutt.
So good. And then Jericho's like, yeah, I'm going to keep trying to fucking break his back, and he gave him the fucking lion tamer and took the referee, like 7 referees to get off of him.
Yeah. It was good.
Which is pretty good. I enjoyed that.
I loved it. It was great.
Yeah. Now.
Main event.
The main event, the meat and potatoes of this whole awesome pay-per-view. One of the best pay-per-views of the year, I think, so far.
I agree.
Of the year 2000. The World Heavyweight Championship, special guest referee, Mr. Money himself, Shane McMahon. And it's The Rock defending, against Triple H, who was the champion, with Stephanie McMahon, Vince McMahon in the corner. The Rock was supposed to have Austin. Austin didn't show up until later on. And apparently, the build-up was at WrestleMania, I think it was WrestleMania, where Vince turns on The Rock and sides with McMahon, Stephanie, and Triple H.
Correct.
And then this Linda gets involved and gets Austin to come into the corner of The Rock and this whole shebang and whatever. But this was, I was watching Triple H. He was on that fucking talk show that the WWE has, The Buzz, whatever it's called, The Buzz, The Bang, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah.
He was on it the other day, hyping up his 25th anniversary special, and then The Rock actually dropped a video for him. Wishing him congratulations and putting him over, and The Rock said he loved working with him, and you could tell that these guys work well together. And you mentioned this on the show a million times, tonight being no different, that you felt that Triple H's best work was with The Rock. And for you to say that, I know why, because of matches like this.
Of course.
You know, it's like, again, like, I was so into all the main players in this at this point. Triple H, The Rock, Austin, Foley, Kurt Angle. Like, you were getting quality matches like this on Raw.
Correct.
On SmackDown, like, this was like a norm now. This is the era of putting pay-per-view matches on regular shows and then hopefully living up to the hype when you actually had the pay-per-view.
Correct.
So let's get,
I still th-
let's get into
I'm
this
sorry,
match.
I still,
no, go ahead.
Before we get into this match, I still think the best match of these was for the Intercontinental title, the ladder match at SummerSlam 98. That match was in perfection, that match.
Fallon said this match was disgusting. Excellent, but disgusting.
It was great. I love this match. Shane is the special guest referee. Dude, the Rock coming out, the people lost their fucking minds when this man.
Oh,
he
God.
Is so fucking over in 2000. It's insane. And then Triple H, when he comes out, he gets booed out of the fucking building like he is Hitler himself. That's how this man had. But I'm telling you, man, this match was fantastic. To me, spot of the match was Shane and Triple H being bottom. That was insane.
Dude, I'm not mad at it, man.
This is a
fun match.
It was a really good match. You know, Shane will not count anything. Well, he was
the fast count. He kept every time Triple H would get an upper hand, he'd 1, 2, 3 like do a really fast count.
Now I gotta ask you, when Austin's music hits, who had the bigger pop, Brock or Austin?
Austin, for sure.
Dude,
I'm drinking Twisted Tea.
That's Austin,
what I'm drinking.
Austin, I could, dude, the pop that he got.
Oh my goodness, yes.
I like you talk about different pops that wrestlers have over the years. Like Ultimate had an amazing pop. The Warriors had an amazing pop. Hogan, but Austin's pop, when you hit that, when you hear the glass, oh, it's insane. It's insane.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Austin takes out the Stooges with the chairs, Vince,
yeah,
everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And then The Rock hits the spine buster, people's elbow, and then Linda comes out with Earl Hebner, who was just fired by Triple H a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
And he comes in, he does the three count, and you have a new WWF champion in The Rock.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And this, believe it or not, this ending was, I don't know if you know this, but this ending was supposed to happen at WrestleMania. But for whatever reason, they were like, you know what, let's just wait until, let's let Triple H win this match, and next we'll give it to The Rock. Which I think would have meant more at WrestleMania than it would have been, would have had a backlash, in my opinion.
Uptown Georgie says, Kevin Castle refers to The Rock as the Elvis of wrestling. That's how cool he was. No argument for me there.
The Rock was so dope.
And
like, The Rock was untouchable.
Yes.
In 2000. Yes. He was legit money. My, believe it or not, I know I talk about Triple H and The Rock, but the best, to me, the best match The Rock had in 2000, Benoit at Fully Loaded.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to get to that match.
That's this year, right?
Yes, I can't wait. That's in July.
July.
Oh, right. My God. I can't wait to do that match. That match is so fucking good.
Yeah, it's going to be.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's going to be a good couple of months. We have some good WCW stuff, too, coming up.
I'm sure we do.
We got RoboCop's coming, bro.
Oh,
yes.
Robo.
Capital Combat. Fuck yeah.
Robo Dick.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
The as a whole, great pay-per-view. Like, if I were to grade. Are we doing letter grades or number grades?
No, it's your baby, man. You tell me.
I think we'll do a letter. If I were to grade this, I would grade it an A.
I give it an A-.
That's fine.
I don't want to give it a perfect score because, I mean,
no,
it's hard.
A perfect score is an A+.
Yeah, so I'm thinking like an A- or an A. Yeah,
I give it an A because it was done so well. Even the shit, even the crappy match with the Acolytes and
Kurt Angle and Big Show. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, even those matches were pretty decent. So it was insane. I love this pay-per-view so much. It was better than rest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this was fun, and you know how it was good because watching it today, you were getting excited again for the main event.
Correct.
Like that's how you know that this was a good car. Like, I'm excited for the main event. I haven't seen this fucking match in 20 years. You know, it's like ridiculous.
You know why else this pay per view was good?
Why?
You
want
to know why? Because Choppy picked it. That's why.
Oh, that's why. I didn't. I wouldn't have known. I mean, you know.
You know what?
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
We're done with this throwback, and Jay never showed up. So you want to know something? Me and Jay are gonna have a conversation.
Will you stop?
Will you stop?
Will you stop?
I don't want to blow our own horn, but toot, toot.
Yeah, so it was a good pay-per-view, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed it.
I loved it.
Yeah, man. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it immensely. Stick around. In about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, I'm going to be going live again with some music, taking calls. I'll post the number up on the internet. Not call me, have a conversation. Call me to say hello and request a fucking song. I don't want to be talking on the phone all night.
Phil's going to be playing the role of Matt Pinfield.
So. Why? Because I'm fat and bald, you motherfucker? You piece of garbage. Let's get out of here. Come on. Oh, my God. All right, Jay, congratulations on your new niece. We'll see you next week.
Yes, sir. Congrats.
We're going to have a conversation for you being absent, apparently. You know all the social media handles, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, Pro Wrestling Tees. That's it, really. We have nothing else to plug. All our friends, plug all our, you know, we have all our friends on the websites.
Follow Shining Wizards, follow Dark Satellite Media, Brooklyn, what's the, Jim Ferrari's?
Dark Satellite Media, Brooklyn Blast Furnace.
Brooklyn Blast Furnace, and then follow Turnbuckle T-Backs on Twitter, Choppy2984 on Twitter, Choppy2984 on Instagram, and also Turnbuckle Throwbacks on Instagram.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I think that's it, man. I think that's it. So, guys, we'll see you next week. Please be careful. Only go out if you have to, especially if you live in New York. And just please stay safe. Your family stay safe.
I'm trying to be a hermit.
Yeah, I'm trying, man. I got, you know.
But then you always have to go grocery shopping.
I got to go grocery shopping tomorrow, man. I went out today. I normally go out once a week. It's ridiculous. But anyway, I digress.
I need coffee.
Yeah, I need coffee. I need my Red Bull. That's my coffee. I gotta get Red Bull.
No, I need legit Starbucks coffee from like the K cups because I ran out.
I have a case of K cups if you need them, but not Starbucks. But if you need some, come get some.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
sure,
let me know.
Dude.
I have a box of 100 there. So
thanks, man.
All right, Cha Cha. Have a great rest of you guys. Have a great rest of your week. We love you guys. We'll see you next week. All right.
Yes, sir.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
All right.